Hey there and welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Tuesday, June the 23rd. We're going to talk about how to pray in a crisis. Can you relate to that one, right? So many times we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of a crisis and we either completely lose our composure and run around like a chicken with its head cut off, or we turn to God in some way or another. But what is the proper way to handle praying in a crisis? We're going to look at an excerpt from the second book of Kings today. It comes from the first reading of today's daily mass, actually. And I thought, as I was at mass, I was going to talk about one thing. Honestly, I forget what I was going to talk about on the program, something that I was reading in my spiritual reading this morning. But once I was at mass and I heard this first reading, I thought, this is what we need to talk about, especially because so many of us are constantly experiencing one sort of a crisis or another. And you know, it doesn't have to be a full-blown crisis. It could be a dilemma that you're faced with, a difficult decision, maybe some sort of a threat. And how is the proper, what is the proper way to pray? And as we can do so many times, we can look at Scripture and see an example, and we can hear the Lord speak to us through the pages of the Bible and give us a perfect example of how it is that we should pray in a crisis. We're also going to see the fruitfulness of turning to God when we need something. You know, instead of just panicking or trying to handle everything yourself, we should always be turning to God and letting Him intervene. It doesn't mean we don't do anything, but it means that we give Him a shot to work in our lives. So that is the topic today. And just a quick reminder, tomorrow morning, now today is Tuesday, so Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll be doing my weekly appearance on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show. That's 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. It's the solemnity tomorrow of the birth of John the Baptist. So we'll talk about, I'll be talking about one of his most famous quotes. So I hope you can tune in to the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, where Matt Swaim and I will share some thoughts about one of the most famous quotes from John the Baptist. Furthermore, it's words, it's advice to live by. If you're looking for a roadmap on how you can grow closer to God in your life, how you can do what He wants you to do, how you can learn to experience peace, this quote from John the Baptist is what you're looking for. So I hope you'll be able to check that out tomorrow on EWTN Radio. So before we pray, I just want to officially welcome you and let you know that in case you're a new listener to this program, and I'm always picking up new listeners, and I'm grateful for you if you are a new listener. I'm grateful for you if you're an old listener. And I'm not saying you're old. What I mean is that whether you've been listening, boy, I see how I get myself into trouble. I should just pray and let the Lord bail me out. I should have said, if you have been listening to this program for a long time or a short time, rather than to call you an old or a new listener or an old, right? So anyway, I'm happy you're here. I hope you're happy that I'm here. Before I get into any more trouble, I just want to advise you, if you want to find out more about my work or possibly check out my books, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com, which is my website. Followingthetruth.com also is it's the name of this show. And that's where the show name comes from Following the Truth of Jesus Christ, which is my website. All right, enough, Gary. Time to pray. Let's turn to our Father in heaven in prayer right now. Let's remember that He's with us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are all with us right now. So let's turn to them in prayer and ask for what we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, we turn to You right now with grateful hearts, grateful for the fact that You are almighty, that You can do all things, that You are all-powerful, that You have created the entire universe out of nothing, and grateful for the fact that You show us Your love, You show us some of Your attributes in all of nature, in all of creation. So we can see glimpses of You in creation. And we're grateful for that because, Father, that helps us to know You. We may have seen glimpses of Your fatherly love in the lives of our own earthly biological fathers, as I did. So we're grateful for these many ways that You show Your love to us, You show Your providential care to us. And Father, we give You thanks for allowing us to be in a relationship with You, We give you thanks for letting us be able to chat with you whenever we need to. We pray, Father, for an increased desire to get to know you more, to be willing to spend time with you. You know, and sometimes, I hate to say it, Father, we have so many other things that we want to do that we don't put you first on our list, and we're sorry for that. We pray that that will change. Grant us the desire to get to know you more, to be willing to spend time with you, not necessarily because we're looking for something, but because we want to be in a relationship with you and know you better. Father, please accept all of our intentions this day and grant them, if they be according to your will. Please put an end to the coronavirus. Please allow the world to get back to normal, the new normal, if you will, so that we can get out into the world and not have to be so distant from one another. But at the same time, we pray that we emerge from this COVID-19 crisis with changed hearts, so that we're more grateful for the blessings that you give to us. Grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy. Father, we pray for world peace, unity in not only in the United States, but around the world, in the church, in the various Christian churches. We pray for an end to terrorism. We pray for an end to the evil of abortion. We pray to be used as your instruments, Father, that you will use us to do your work. Please let us be your hands and feet in the world and give us the strength that we need to be able to do that. And finally, Father, I ask you to use me this day as your instrument. Please give me the words for the show. Inspire my thoughts through your Holy Spirit. Inspire everything that I say. Help me get out of the way so you can deliver the message through my lips. And please open all of our hearts so that we can hear and respond to what it is that you have to say on this program. Father, we ask this in the most holy name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I am better now. Thank you for praying with me. It always feels good. And you know, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Initially, when we start talking to God our Father, when we start talking to Jesus, or even more so, when we start talking to the Holy Spirit, it feels really strange. And you might be at that point where you're saying, I am still not feeling it. I'm talking to God the Father, but he's invisible. I can't really picture him. I'm having a hard time with that. My advice to you is keep going. Keep going with that relationship. And the Holy Spirit, that's another challenging relationship. The Holy Spirit is a person, but the Holy Spirit is mysterious. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Bible. Every word of Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But you really, most of us have a hard time. We can get into God the Father. We can kind of picture him, even though he's pure spirit also. We can picture him a little bit, but the Holy Spirit, it's difficult to really have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That does not mean that we shouldn't have one. Honestly, it's easiest to have a relationship with Jesus because he had flesh. He was a person. We see pictures or images of him, and we have an idea of what he looked like. And even that can be tricky sometimes because we can't necessarily hear him speak audibly to us. But the Holy Spirit and God the Father, they can be very challenging. Keep talking. That's what I would say. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to make his presence known. And the Holy Spirit's always going to play, I think, a diminished role in your life because the Holy Spirit exists to make God the Father real for you and to help you to be able to feel his love. And the Holy Spirit helps you to understand and have a relationship with Jesus as well. The Holy Spirit is willing to play a lesser role, kind of, but not really. The Holy Spirit animates all of our, or wants to animate all of our thoughts and guide our actions and our words. But the Holy Spirit is okay with doing that in the background. But talk to the Holy Spirit. When you start to get ideas, ask the Holy Spirit to, first of all, give the Holy Spirit permission to work in your life. I absolutely recommend that you do that and get used to doing that frequently. ask for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, ask the Father to give you a new outpouring of the Spirit every day. And what he'll do is allow the Spirit to come alive in you. It's not like, and this is really hard to explain, it's not like you're actually getting more of the Spirit. When you get baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit. When you get confirmed, that gift of the Holy Spirit gets strengthened. But you should continually pray for a fresh outpouring, or if you want to use the word, an activation of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit comes to life in you each day and in each new situation. Because, you know, a lot of times we lose the, I'm not sure the word I'm looking for, but we almost leak the Holy Spirit. I think I talked about that on the program before, so that the Holy Spirit becomes dormant in us. We want to make sure that we stir him up and get him fired up so that he can really guide us. So talk to the Father, talk to Jesus, talk to the Holy Spirit, talk to the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph. That's all good. Have relationships with all of these individuals. Of course, Mary and Joseph, they are not divine. They're humans, but they are certainly in a position where they can help you, where they can intercede for you. So don't leave them out as well. All right, let's talk about how to pray in a crisis. And I mentioned that I was at Mass today, daily Mass, which is the Mass for the Tuesday of the 12th week in Ordinary Time. And the first reading comes from the second book of Kings, chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. So this is 2 Kings, chapter 19, verse 9. Now, I will say that, and I've talked about this on the program before, there are a few verses omitted. So the church took out a few verses in order in this particular, in the first reading from today's Mass. So there's going to be a few gaps in the story in order to present a clear message and highlight this particular message. So if you want to read the whole unedited passage in the Bible, it's 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 36. 2 Kings 19, 9 through 36. So again, excuse me, I just had to adjust my chair here. Again, there's going to be a couple verses missing from what I'm going to read here, but if you want to read the whole thing, you might want to do so. But the message here is for us, how to pray in a crisis. You get a bad medical diagnosis. You got laid off from your job. You had a relationship fall apart. Something happened coronavirus related, some bad news. Maybe you don't even have the virus, but you heard something that there's a resurgence in your area and you're starting to freak out about it. How do we pray? You're getting tempted by the devil. You're tempted to fall back into your favorite sin. It might be a serious sin, might be a venial sin, could be a mortal sin, whatever, that temptation. There are many different ways that a threat can present itself to us. How should we handle a threat? Well, we should pray. We should always make sure that when we are facing, I mean, we should pray all the time anyway. We should pray every day, but especially in times of crisis, we want to make sure we hit our knees and ask the Lord to help us. Don't leave that out. You know, a lot of us who tend to worry, we like to be controlling, we just hit the ground running and we want to go and fix everything on our own. But the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to turn to him for help. So let's look at this reading now. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent envoys to Hezekiah with this message. Thus shall you say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God on whom you rely deceive you by saying that Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. You have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to other countries. They doomed them. Will you then be saved? All right, so we got this king of Assyria, Sennacherib, threatening King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, with the message that your God, Hezekiah, can't help you. He can't help you. We are going to destroy your people. So here we have what? We have a threat. How does King Hezekiah respond? Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, and spreading it out before him, he prayed in the Lord's presence, O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned upon the cherubim, You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and hear, and see, Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to taunt the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and cast their gods into the fire. They destroyed them because they were not gods, but the work of human hands, wood and stone. Therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from the power of this man, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, are Lord, O Lord, are God. Now, let's break this down. We got a little more to read, but I'm going to break this message down. Hezekiah is threatened. He's got a real problem on his hands. This is a serious, legitimate threat. You might have a serious, legitimate threat in your life right now. I mean, you look at COVID-19. That falls into this category. That's a real threat. It's not imaginary. There's a lot of opinions about it, but there's no doubt. You look at the number of people who experience this virus and the number of deaths. I mean, this is a serious threat. So Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and he went up to the temple. So the first thing he did after facing this threat from Sennacherib was he took the letter to the Lord's temple and prayed in the Lord's presence. He turned to God when he was threatened. That is the perfect response to a threat, to any kind of a threat in your life or a problem that you have to handle. Turn to the Lord. And he said these words, O Lord God of Israel, enthroned upon the cherubim. So look what he's doing. He didn't ask anything yet. He's recognizing the power of God. Now you'll hear sometimes, or most times when I pray at the start of this show, I acknowledge the greatness of God. I acknowledge that he is the creator of the universe. I acknowledge that he's all powerful, that he's all present. Because we need to know who we're dealing with. God doesn't need to know. He knows that he's powerful. But we, and this is a not a good choice of words, but for lack of a better expression, we need to butter him up a little bit before we, but that's really not what we're doing. What we're doing is reminding ourselves that we're in the presence of Almighty God, who is all powerful, who is bigger than whatever problem we face. Because if I don't remember that, and it's very easy for me to forget that as I'm staring into the face of a problem, if I don't remember that, my prayer is not going to be that sincere because I've lost sight of the power of God. But this is what Hezekiah does. He recognizes the power of God. And he says, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. In other words, this other king, Sennacherib, he's a nobody. He's nothing. You, God, are the king. You are all over all the kings. And then he said, you have made the heavens and the earth, acknowledging God created everything out of nothing. Incline your ear, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to taunt the living God. And really, what Sennacherib was doing, he was taunting God, saying to Hezekiah, you're God, he ain't that big. And Hezekiah is calling God's attention to that fact. Did God know about this? Of course, God knows everything. But he still wants us to inform him. He wants us to turn to him in our hour of need. This is what it means to have a relationship with God. He wants us to depend on him. It's not like we're giving him information that he didn't know. He knew this already. But Hezekiah is pointing this out. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to the nations and their lands and cast their gods into the fire. They destroyed them because they were not gods, but the work of human hands. He's stating the problem to God. Even though God knows, again, what's going on, he's pointing out that these people, these Assyrians, they were a big threat. Therefore, O Lord, now he gets to the petition. Now he finally gets to, after pointing this out, this is what I need. Therefore, O God, save us from the power of this man. He already established. Hezekiah worked through this. He established that God is God. He is over all other false gods. He's the big guy. And then he presents the need, and then he gives God the threat. lets him know that he was threatened, that Sennacherib was really challenging the God of Hezekiah, Almighty God, saying, your God isn't that big. And then Hezekiah gets to the point, save us from the power of this man, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. And he kind of, again, he kind of gives the Lord, he sells his request a little bit by telling the Lord, look, if you come through and you save us, then everyone will recognize that you are God. And you know what? That's a valid point. That's a valid point. Because when there are a lot of false gods and idol worship going on at the time, and you know, we see it nowadays too. So when you pray, it's okay to say, God, look, if you heal this person, or you heal me, or you allow this person to live, or allow me to get a job, then I'm gonna praise you, and I'm gonna let people know that you are the reason that I succeeded. So in other words, I'm doing this because of you. I want people to know that you are the one true God. Now, there's nothing wrong. It's not like he's doing this, like he's pulling a fast one and trying to bargain with God. What he's really saying is we are all called to evangelize. And by God coming through with the problem, that is that shows that we, or the king here, understands what he's trying to do. I'm trying to make you, God, look good so that I can evangelize and share you with other people. I don't think that's a shady move at all. That's really saying to the Lord, look, if you come through for me, I'm going to really use the opportunity to spread the good news, to turn people on to your power and your majesty, because you are almighty. Then Isaiah, who's the prophet, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. See, the prophet would be, at the time, especially in the Old Testament, a prophet would be the go-between. The prophet would be the go-between between the people and God. So the prophets would deliver. Sometimes they would predict the future, but not always. A lot of times we think prophets just predict the future. What they really did, more importantly, was speak to the people on behalf of God. So then Isaiah sent this message, inspired by the Lord, to Hezekiah. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, in answer to your prayer for help against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have listened. Wow, I like that. I have listened, God said. This is the word the Lord has spoken concerning him. She despises you, laughs you to scorn, the virgin daughter Zion. Behind you she wags her head, daughter Jerusalem. Then he goes on to say, for out of Jerusalem shall come a remnant, and from Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. And he continues, therefore thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. So this is a prophetic word here. He shall not reach this city, nor shoot an arrow at it. Now this is a foretelling of the future. This is the prophet using another one of his prophetic roles. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. This evil Sennacherib, he's not going to reach this city, nor shoot an arrow at it, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast up siege works against it. He shall return by the same way he came, without entering the city, says the Lord. I will shield and save this city for my own sake, and for the sake of my servant David. So what we have here is the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, assuring King Hezekiah that everything's going to be well. Sennacherib is not going to attack the city. He is not going to be able to carry out his threat. And then we're told finally that that night the angel of the Lord went forth and struck down 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and went back home to Nineveh. Interestingly enough, Hezekiah and the army, his army, didn't even have to fight these Assyrians off. The Lord took care of the problem. So, I mean, you look at this as we bring this show to a close, we have somebody with a problem that he can't solve. See, Hezekiah couldn't have fixed this problem on his own because Sennacherib and his army was a real threat. So he went to the Lord, asked for help, And we saw the way this played out. We saw the way his prayer was structured. You are all powerful, God. I got a real threat on my hands. Please help us. And what happened? God took care of the problem so that Hezekiah did not have to fight this battle. This was the Lord's battle. And that's what happens if we turn to God with our problems. Now, sometimes we will have to do something. Sometimes he'll ask us to do something. There'll be a part of the answer to your prayer that you're going to have to do. Now, will you always get exactly what you want when you pray? No, and this is what we have to understand. This is the hardest thing to understand when it comes to prayer, and this is what sometimes causes us to say, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. What it means is, what really is happening there is God sometimes says no because we're asking for something that will not be beneficial to us. That's always going to be the case. We can never with certainty know what's good for us. What's good for us considering the big picture. Big picture meaning what's going to get me to heaven. What's good for my eternal salvation and maybe the salvation of those around me. And that's where we have to be willing to surrender to God's will. That's hard. It takes humility because we can get a little proud sometimes and we say, no, I want this. God, I want you to fix this. I want to manipulate your will. Please change your will. You know, that's something I find that gets easier. You get a little bit more docile as your relationship with the Lord grows. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep talking to him. Keep asking for what you need. And use this as your example of what happened here. We had an impossible situation with this King Hezekiah, but the Lord turned it all around. And the threat was removed. So if you've got a threat in your life, if you've got an insurmountable problem, turn to the Lord. Hit your knees, present what you need to him, but be willing to be patient and to accept the answer, okay? I'm looking at the clock. I am completely out of time. I want to thank you for listening to the show. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Following the Truth. Have a wonderful night. I'm going to keep you in my prayers. Please keep me in your prayers as well. And remember, if you got a problem in your life, turn to the Lord and ask for his help. God bless you. See you next time.